When the Baal HaTanya was a young man, so he was a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich. And the Magid had a Baal Koreh who was known to be an outstanding Baal Koreh. And at one point, this Baal Koreh left town for whatever reason. He was no longer able to be the Baal Koreh of the Magid. And someone informed the Magid that the Baal HaTanya was known to be a particularly good Baal Koreh. So he figured, Magid invited the Baal HaTanya to have a tryout, so to speak, to be the Baal Koreh. So the Magid summons the Baal HaTanya and he says, I hear you know how to read from the Torah. He says, yes, Rebbe, I know a little bit how to read from the Torah. So he says to him, so let me ask you, when you read the Sedra, when you read the Parsha, are you able to see how it connects to the events of that week? So the Baal HaTanya says, yes, I know how to do that. So he says, so let me ask you further. Are you able to connect each Aliyah to a corresponding day from that week? So Rishon on a Sunday. So he says, yes, Rabbi, I know how to do that. So he says, when someone gets called for an Aliyah on Shabbos, the fellow who gets Shlishi, are you able to connect it to what happened to that person according to his soul that past week? And he says, yes, Rabbi, even that I can see in the parasha. So he says, okay, then Gevaldik, then you're able to be my Baal Koreh. Those are the qualifications to be the Baal Koreh of the Magid of Mezrich. And needless to say, most of us don't know how to do that. But Chazal tell us, and the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, that we have to try to find in the Parsha a connection to whatever Moadim are coming up. You always find the energy of the Yom Tov. And with Purim, 1 week from, we'll be sitting at our Purim Suda at this time. Hopefully we'll still be going strong at this time in 1 week. So we have to try to find in Parshas Vayikra, the Shabbos that leads us into Purim, we have to try to find some message that connects us to Purim. I think we mentioned one of the Chanukah Shirim, that the Shlach HaKadosh writes in his Drush Tzon Yosef on Vayeshev Miketz and Vayigash, the Shlach writes, it's not on the page in front of you, L'chol zman ve'es l'chol chefetz, ki bevadai gilgul ha-mo'adim shokol ha-shana, because certainly, he says, the way that the calendar is structured, hinei eila mo'adei Hashem, by that I refer to the holidays, he says, hein mo'adei drabanan, otanios, v'tisha b'av, it doesn't matter what it is, it's a rabbinic holiday, it's a fast day, there's always a connection to the parsha that it coincides with. Because all of it is orchestrated by Hashem. So I want to try to find, not only in the entire parsha Vayikra, we'll keep it simple tonight, the first word of the parsha. What does the first word of the parsha tell us about Purim? Well, the parsha begins in source number one. Vayikra el Moshe v'yadaber Hashem elav me'oel moed lemor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he speaks to him from the Ohel Moed, saying, you'll notice in the word Vayikra, on the page in front of you, the Aleph of Vayikra is small. And a lot has been written about what is the nature of this Aleph Zeira, the small Aleph of Vayikra. So the Baal HaTurim gives us a bit of the history, a little bit of the background to this story. The Baal HaTurim writes in source number 2, Aleph de Vayikra Zeira. The tradition is to write the Aleph of Zeira, Vayikra, Zeira, small. Shemosha haya gadol va'anav lo ratza lichtov ela vayikar lashon mikra. Moshe says, who am I? Vayikra, God's going to call to me. Moshe's writing the Torah. He's living the Torah, but he's also writing the Torah. So when Moshe was asked to write Vayikra el Moshe, God called to Moshe, Moshe said, who am I? Hashem communicates with me. Hashem reaches out directly to me. Moshe was a gadol, but he was also an anav, says the Baal HaTurim. And therefore he felt more comfortable writing the word, what? Vayikar. The way the Torah describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with Bilam HaRasha. Also a great prophet. But by Bilam, the Torah says Vayikar. Ki'ilu lo dibir HaKadosh Baruch Hu imo ele b'chalom. It's as if Hashem communicated with Moshe in a dreamlike state. Not the way the Torah actually describes pal peh, face to face, mouth to mouth, ponim aponim. Like two friends communicate. Torah write it like it says by Bilam. Right? Vayikar. Vayikar Elokim el Bilam. God happened upon Bilam. It was easier to write it that way for Moshe. It made him less uncomfortable. Ki'ilu lo nira lo Hashem ela b'mikra. As if Hashem just happened upon Moshe. Not that Hashem summoned Moshe to a meeting. Va'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lichtov gam aleph. Hashem says, Moshe, you better write that aleph. I command you to write the aleph. Moshe says, but I don't feel comfortable. It's gaivadik to write the aleph. It's not gaivadik, write the aleph. I want to communicate with you. Write the aleph. Moshe's not able to do it. V'shuv amar lo Moshe machmas rov anava shelo yichdavena ela katana Yoser Mishar Alfin Shabatora Vakosva Katana. Moshe negotiates with Hashem, as he's known to do, and Moshe says, I'll write the Aleph, but only if you let me write it small. And it seems like Hashem agreed, because that's how we write it in our Sefer Torah. The Aleph of Vayikra is small. What exactly was Moshe so worried about? Why couldn't he write Vayikra? He wanted to write Vayikar. And more than that, if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us about the nature of this Vayikra. And it only heightens the mystery. Rashi says, very interestingly, in source number 3, Vayikra el Moshe, Hakol holech umegia la'oznov, the voice of Hashem went straight to Moshe's ears, v'chol Yisrael lo shomim. When Hashem called Moshe, only Moshe heard it, no one else was able to hear. So I want to discuss tonight a little bit about this little Aleph, try to understand exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu, whose birthday and Yahrzeit was today, Zayin Adar, to try to understand what Moshe was challenging Hashem about this little Aleph, questioning, I don't feel comfortable writing Vayikra, I can only write it small. What is it about this Aleph that Moshe was so uncertain about? The Sfarim HaKadoshim actually explain that Moshe, there's all Vart that goes with it, but Moshe Rabbeinu only wanted to write the small Aleph for himself. For Klal Yisrael, he was ready to write Vayikra with a big Aleph. Meaning Moshe's attitude, he looked at his fellow Jews, no, you're worthy of receiving the Dvar Hashem, but I'm not worthy of receiving the Dvar Hashem. By me, it's just Vayikar. Hashem happened upon me. Moshe, in his humility, wasn't comfortable writing Vayikra. So the question is, again, what exactly was Moshe hesitant about? Now, we have to see Moshe as not Moshe, because Moshe is just being exceedingly humble. Moshe, we know, is worthy of Hashem's call. It's the very opposite of the way Moshe is presenting it. Again, the Sfarim say, Moshe said, no, we're worthy of the Aleph. Just Moshe said, I'm not worthy of the Aleph. Obviously, as readers and learners of the Torah, we have to kind of flip the narrative a little bit. And we say, Moshe, of course, you're Moshe Rabbeinu, of course you're worthy of the Aleph. Maybe Moshe, as representing Klal Yisrael, as a representation, as the embodiment of the entirety of Klal Yisrael, as Moshe Rabbeinu was sometimes described, maybe Moshe speaking on our behalf is saying, as a voice of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is nervous about accepting that Aleph. We have a hard time buying into that Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu is an all-encompassing Jew. So whatever Moshe says, whatever Moshe is experiencing, if we wonder and feel that it doesn't really fit Moshe the person, it's Moshe representing the Jewish people. Again, Moshe is an all-encompassing soul. There's a Medrash that says, there was a woman in Mitzrayim who gave birth to 600,000 Jews. So the Medrash says, who is that? It's Moshe. So either, you can learn it one of two ways. Either Moshe is the woman who gave birth to 600,000 Jews, right? It's strange to describe Moshe as a woman, but Moshe who taught Klal Yisrael the Torah, so to speak, he raised, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, you raise someone, you educate them, it's as if you give birth to them. So Moshe is, so to speak, the mother of the 600,000 Jews. That's one way to say it. Another way to say it is that, no, Moshe's mother gave birth to Moshe, who was Shakul, who was equated with the entirety of Klal Yisrael. He's an all-encompassing Jew. He's called Moshe Rabbeinu. Already the Rishonim say, Moshe Rabbeinu is Gematria 613. He's an all-encompassing Jew. The Shulchan Aruch Kadosh also brings an interesting Rambam. It's a little hard to understand. He says, you take Moshe's name, Mem times Shin times Hey, plus another 10 times 10 for the Aseret Dibros is 600,000. Mem times Shin times Hey times 10 is 600,000. Okay. Moshe Kibbol Tar Misinai has a Remez how Sinai is also 600,000. Shalach Kadosh, you know? They don't call us a Kadosh, so we should. It's hard to understand sometimes, but Moshe is this all-encompassing personality. So again, so if Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I don't feel worthy of the Aleph, he's really speaking on behalf of Klai. Moshe talks to Hashem face to face. He's talking for us. We don't feel worthy of the Aleph. Probably one of the greatest frustrations I think we have as Jews, and a lot of conversations I have with people is about this frustration. I daven, I do mitzvos, I try to have a relationship with Hashem. Right? People even sometimes, you know, play the card against me. Like Moshe Tzvi, you talk about having a relationship with Hashem. Yeah? What does it mean to have a relationship with Hashem? Hashem never talks back. Hashem never interacts. Hashem never shows himself. Hashem never displays himself. So I talk and I talk and I talk and the monologue, you know, drags on. But where's the dialogue? Where's the relationship? Where's the communication? Hashem, your guidance seems haphazard. It seems random at times. It seems totally random. But that, 1 week before Purim, 1 week before Purim, we have to remind ourselves, that's Machsheves Hama. That's the world of Amalek. The world of Amalek is the world where things are random, that things are subject to chance. We'll have lotteries. According to one opinion, Haman threw dice. We'll look at the tarot cards. We'll look for all sorts of unusual signs, any other sign than God. But it's all basically random, games of chance. As Jews, we believe the very opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very much present, and it's our job to train ourselves to what? To hear that little Aleph. To hear how Hashem communicates with us. Would it be nice if we could communicate the way Moshe communicated? Not in a dream, where it's not so fuzzy, where it's clear, where it's crystal clear? We would love that. But that's not our reality. We live in the world where what? Where it appears at times to be mikra, to be happenstance, to be chance, where the pieces don't add up. The Medrash writes in Esther Rab in source number 4, Vayageid lo Mordechai es kol asher karahu. Right? Mordechai knows everything that's happening, karahu. Amr lahasach. Mordechai sends a message back to Esther through Hasach. Leich emor la. Mordechai is saying everything's happening. Mordechai the tzaddik thinks it's random. Mordechai HaTzaddik's a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mordechai HaTzaddik is called an Ish Yehudi. As far as I say, Ish Yehudi is Gematria Moshe. He is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not the one who's struggling, but he knows that Klal Yisrael is. He knows how Amalek is going to try to paint the picture. So he tells Hasach, go tell Esther everything asher kara'u, everything that's happening, the randomness of what's happening, the craziness of what's happening, the lotteries that Haman is casting. Why does he use the word asher kara'u? Says the Medrash, very insightful. Ben beno shel kara'u ba'aleichem. Watch out, the grandson of Karahu is coming after you. Who's Karahu? Hadahu dichsiv asher karcha baderech. Who's the one who happened upon us while we happened to be leaving Mitzrayim? Right? We didn't happen to be leaving Mitzrayim. We were guided by Hashem out of Mitzrayim. We were guided through the Yom Suf. And who happens to show up? Because they say, maybe it just happened that the Nile was filled with blood. And maybe there just happens to have been a plague of frogs. Maybe you Jews had, good luck. Random timing. Everything just happened to work out. After all, the Torah itself says a strong wind came and split the sea. So maybe it was just a natural strong wind. Maybe it's not God splitting the sea and doing miracles for you. Amalek always causes us to slip into that world of mikra. We're not really sure. Is Hashem here? Is Hashem not there? Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayin. Is God with us or not? The pasuk at the end of Parshas Beshalach. A Jew has to fight against that on Purim. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, representing Klal Yisrael. It's not Moshe speaking for Moshe. It's Moshe speaking for us. And it's not Mordechai, Asher Karahu, speaking for Mordechai. It's speaking for us. We have to try to fight back and say, what? I'm not going to fall into the world of Vayikar, as Moshe wants to write the Torah, because he doesn't feel that he's worthy of Vayikra, as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael don't feel worthy of Vayikra. Does Hashem really talk to me? That's not my experience. And if Hashem talks, he talks in such a low voice. But the answer is, listen better. Listen to that little Aleph. Try to find that little Aleph. Try to put that little Aleph into the Vayikar. That little Aleph represents Alufo Shel Olam. We've explained many times, the Mori Naim in Parshas Truma says that the Avoda of this month, Adar, is Aleph Dar. That the Aleph, that the Alufo Shel Olam, Dar, should dwell amongst us. To bring Hashem in a little bit more. Right? But the problem is, of course, Megillah Esther. The challenge is being megalet, revealing the aleph, which is seser, which is hidden. And therefore, sometimes you got to look carefully. Does it say vayikar? Does it say vayikra? It's hard for me to see. Moshe is teaching us that it's there. Hashem is forcing Moshe, you have to write, don't you dare lie into a klai, so vayikar, no, I don't know if it's really there. It's there, look a little harder. It's a little bit small at times. It's hard to hear it, it's hard to see it at times. That's why he told us that what? That when the voice of Hashem called out, only Moshe, it went straight to Moshe's ears. You know why? Because Moshe's ears were listening. Not anyone else was able to hear it because other people weren't listening the way that Moshe was listening. Again, as we mentioned in the past, Asfas Emes, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hashem said, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, he wasn't only talking to Avram, he was talking to the world, but Avram was the one who was listening. So Rashi says, why did Moshe hear what Klal Yisrael didn't hear? Simply because Moshe wanted to hear. If you don't want to hear, you'll see a whole life of Vayikar, a world of randomness, a world of chance. But if you look for that Aleph and you look for it well, you'll be able to find a very precise way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides us through life's decisions. Let's learn an interesting Gemara in Maseches Tanis. The Gemara in Maseches Tanis in Daf Chaf Aleph tells a story about two great tzaddikim, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Havu Garsi Ba'oraisa. They were in yeshiva together. They were learning Torah together. Dechikalahu milsa tuva. And they were running out of cash. It was time to get a job. Okay, it happens. Omri, nekum v'nezel v'nei avid iska. All right, time to pick ourselves up from the base medrash. We rezochet to many years of learning. It's a big bracha, not to be taken for granted. We avoided the curse of Adam Rishon for a number of years. Okay, now we don't have money. What are we supposed to do? Starve? You go to work. So they got up and they went to work. Right? They went to work, or they planned to go to work. V'nekayim b'nafshon, let's fulfill about ourselves. Efes ki lo ye b'cha evyon. The pasuk in Devarim says, halavai, there shouldn't be paupers. So don't make yourself a poor person. Go get a job. Okay, so they went to get a job. Ozlu oisve tuse guda re'iyo. They went on their way. I guess they were, you know, on their way to find a job. They sat down to eat their lunch along a shaky wall. They sat down along this wall, I guess maybe to get a little shade. But the wall was not a sturdy wall. Havuka karchi riftan. They were breaking bread. They were eating a meal. Osu tre malachi asharis. Two angels came. Shamei Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan heard the Amar Chad Lechavre. He heard one of the angels say to the other angel, Nishdi alayu haigudov naktalinhu. Let's push over the wall and kill these two individuals. Why? Shemenichin chai olam haba v'oiskin b'chai shah. Because from the angel's perspective, the angels can't understand what it's like to be a human being. The angels don't know what it's like to pay your PSE&G bill. They don't understand. The angels say, "What do you? I don't understand. Why did these Jews stop learning? If you're an angel, if you're a malach, we understand. They cannot. Malachim don't understand how it works in this world. So the malachim, all the malachim see is, look at these bums. They left the world of Olam Haba, of spiritual pursuits, to pursue a job. They should kill them on the spot. Amr le'idach, the other one said, whoa, whoa, shavkinu, the other malach, a little more worldly, I guess. Right? The other malach said, leave him alone. De'ika b'hucha de'kai melei shata. Because one of them, you'll see, something's going to happen with one of them. Something good's going to happen with one of them. Rabbi Yochanan Shama, says the Gemara where it's bolded, Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation of the angels, Ilfa lo Shama. And Ilfa didn't hear. Amr le'Rabbi Yochanan le'Ilfa. Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa, Shama mar midi, did you hear anything? Did you hear what I just heard? Amar lay low. No, I didn't hear anything. Amar, so Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, midi shami anav ilfa lo shama, from the fact that I heard and Ilfa did not hear, it must be that when the angel said one of them is going to make it in terms of, you know, the base medrash, shma mina lididi kaimali shaita. Apparently, I'm the one who's going to have success, and I don't know, maybe I'll get a big inheritance. Rav Yochanan said, okay, I should go back to the base medrash. The angels have said one of us needs to go out to the world, but one of us is going to be able to stay full-time learning Torah. Amr le Rav Yochanan, ehadir va'oki v'nafshei, ki lo yechtel evyon mikara va'aretz. Rav Yochanan hadar, Ilfa lo hadar. So Rav Yochanan decides I'm going back to the base medrash, and Ilfa went to work. You know what's amazing about this Gemara? Besides the fact that, again, it reinforces that there are things that a person who's listening in a certain way can hear when someone else can't hear. You know what's ironic or maybe very precise about this Gemara? The one who didn't hear his name is Ilfa. Ilfa. Milashon Aleph. Now, there's a couple ways we could say the Vart. I even realized tonight, just as I was driving to the Shir, it's really a Chanukah Torah, but when we talk about on Chanukah, we talk about Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So one of the few places Chanukah appears in the Mishnayos, in the Mishnah literature, because we don't have Maseches Chanukah, right? It talks about a chenvani who puts his menorah outside of his store. And the Svarim there, the Magad of Mezrich has a Torah, I'm not going to go into it now, it's a Chanukah Torah, but he says that chenvani is osios Yochanan. Chenvani means a storekeeper. So in a very ironic way, I think you can even say, right? One of them's name is Ilfa, Aleph. He's connected to Aluf HaSholom. And one of them, his name, Yochanan, is the same letters as Chenvani. He's supposed to be a shopkeeper. He's supposed to, you know, go do business. And yet Rabbi Yochanan wanted to hear something different. Rabbi Yochanan, whose very letters of his name spell Chenvani, decided, I don't want to be a Chenvani. I want to go back to the base medrash. And he listened carefully, and he heard that maybe he has a place in the base medrash. But the one whose name was Ilfa, the one who had the Aleph in his name, somehow wasn't sensitive to it. Ilfa might even be a lashon of like a very small aleph. Maybe his aleph is a little too small, right? To the point that he didn't hear it. He didn't believe it. He wasn't able to recognize it. The avoda of Purim, again, is to recognize that aleph. To take that vayikar, that world of Amalek, of Mikra, where I missed those ramazim from Hashem, those hints from Hashem, not the randomness of the lottery, right? But to see that as whatever happens, it's being guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to hear it as such is difficult. It's not easy. Moshe heard it. Klal Yisrael didn't hear it. Avram Avinu heard it. The world didn't hear it. Yochanan, the Chenvani, heard it. And Ilfa with an Aleph in his name. His whole name is Aleph. But he didn't hear it. Because it's possible for the Aleph to be there and you don't see it. You don't recognize it. It's simply too small. On Purim, we take Mikra, the world of chance, Mem Kuf Resh Hay, and we replace that last Hay with a what? With an Aleph. We turn it into Mikra, Al Mikra Megillah. Through the reading of the Megillah, Megillas Esther, we uncover the Aleph Seser, Esther, the Aleph Seser, that hidden letter. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is always speaking to us, if only in a whisper. We have to train our ears to hear it. The Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov al Torah, it's really a quote from the Maggid of Mezrich. Baal Shem Tov al Torah wasn't written by the Baal Shem Tov. It's a collection of Torahs that were ideas that were rooted in the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. So in his writings on Megillas Esther, he emphasizes this idea. Again, it's really a quote from the Maggid of Mezrich in a sefer called Likutei Amarim from the Maggid. Hine Yadua, in source number 6. Ki kol ma sha'adam roeh, o shomeya, eino b'mikra. Anything and everything you see, anything and everything you hear, there's a reason for it. Hashem is saying something to you. We don't always know. It's hard for us to interpret. It takes tremendous Torah insight and a deep soul to start to pick up on the messages and to hope that you're interpreting it in the right way. And you have to daven that hopefully you're understanding the things you encounter in this world. But realize, says the Baal Shem Tov, says the Maggid of Mezrich, Rak b'chol makom yesh nitzotzos kedoshim va'osios kedoshim. Everywhere you go, there are holy sparks. There are holy letters just waiting to be interpreted by you. V'choshkim u'mizavim tamid l'sharsham. And they want to be lifted up to the supernal source. They don't want to just be the chitzonius of that idea. They want to be able to what? To, so to speak, change their levushim. Like we do on Purim with all the costumes. We can become a lot of different things. My outside, my inside, who knows what it is? Because it's training us to realize, that's not a banana, that's my neighbor. Right? That's not a princess, that's the little girl down the block. Right? To be able to look deeper. To recognize that there's something beneath the surface. Kol echad roitze v'choshech lizdabik me'ein kiyotzebo. Each thing wants to attach itself to a higher version of itself. So ava la'ava, tif'eres l'tif'eres. Whatever the superficial expression of love is, it wants to be redirected, channeled towards love of Hashem. Tif'eres, whatever that midah means, wants to be directed towards its source. How does he connect it to Megillas Esther? He writes in the fourth line, uvehigia tur na'ara v'na'ara. Each of the na'aros were lining up, waiting their turn to come before the melech. So to speak, it explains it, it's very Kabbalistic, so I'm just not going to read the rest inside. But he says that essentially the idea of a na'ara, nukva, the female embodiment of any idea, right, wants to come before the king. In other words, however things are expressed in their physical form in this world, it wants to be able to get a chance to come before the king. It wants to be lifted closer to Hashem, elevated from nukva. Nukva, not negative. Nukva just means it's earthliness. It's olam hazeh nature. It wants to be lifted up closer to the king. So as each of the na'arot, each of these young maidens was waiting their turn with the Melech HaChashveirosh, it represents each thing in this world waiting for its opportunity. For someone to come along and interpret it a bit deeper and to bring it before Hashem. To realize, like the Baal Shem Tov, like the Maggid explained, everything you see, every single thing you hear, eino b'mikra. It's not vayikar, it's vayikra with an aleph. It's not mikra with a hey, it's al mikra megillah. Hashem's inviting you to be megala the Esther, to reveal that which is hidden. I'll tell you a great little story. I went with one of my students to Target a couple of months ago. He was struggling. He said he had a lot of questions in Amuna. So I said, I really want to talk to you about it, but I need to go. My wife sent me to Target, so I got to go to Target. So I said, if you want to come for the ride, we can schmooze in the car. All right, so we went to Target together. And we're talking about matters of theology as we're walking around collecting paper towels and cereal. Okay. So as we're walking around, at one point he says to me, Moshe Tzvi, how do you know? Just tell me, you believe in Hashem. I said, yes, I believe in Hashem. He said, how do you know? I said, I don't know. There's nothing I can say I can't prove it to you. I don't know. Open the Rambam, Yisodei HaTorah, read through, read the Moreh Nevuah. I don't know. The proofs are not like it for me. That's not what it is. He's like, do you really believe in Hashem? I said, yes, I really believe in Hashem. He said, you're sure of it? Really, really? That's what he said to me. Really, really? So I said, yes, really, really. Really, really. And then we turned the corner. We were walking down one of the aisles, and we turned the corner, and all of a sudden, as we round the corner, there's a very tall African-American woman on her cell phone who's you know, doing her shopping as well, talking to one of her girlfriends. And like, as we're having this conversation, he says to me, do you really? I said, yes, really. He says, really? I said, yes, really, really. We turn the corner, and this lady, loudly on her cell phone, says to her friend, really? Are you serious? Really? That's great news. Really? Are you sure? Wow, really? And I said, that's our conversation. I said, Hashem said, I said, there it is. That's Hashem. She goes, really? Really? I said, yes. I said, look, yes. I also said, really. Yes, really. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I actually didn't say that to her, but really, Hashem, I said, I told him this Baal Shem Tov. There's a reason. Why'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Maybe Hashem's begging you to give it a chance, right? To interpret a sign. Now, I don't know. I don't know. No one knows for sure. It could be a silly example, right? But to realize that whatever is happening in our life is a Kodesh Baruch Hu trying in some way to communicate with us. Everything, the words of the Baal Shem Tov, everything you see, every conversation you hear, you overhear some woman in Target talking to some other woman on her phone about some good news that she said, wow, really, I can't believe it, wow, really, it's true, it came true, right? Because Hashem's communicating with us. Sometimes it's not only in our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we sometimes don't understand how other people are treating us, and we sometimes don't know how to respond in the right way. The Sefer HaChinuch, in source number 7, in the mitzvah, or really the Lo Sa'aseh mitzvah of Shelo Linkom, not to take revenge. Interestingly enough, it's mitzvah Resh Mem Aleph, 241, which is one more than Amalek. Amalek is 240. This is how we defeat Amalek, with this attitude. Explains the Sefer HaChinuch, Mishar Shea Mitzvah. Why does the Torah tell us not to take revenge? A person should know, says the Sefer HaChinuch, V'yitein Alibo. Ki kol asher yikra'ehu mitov ad ra. Whatever happens to you, whether it's good, whether it's bad, hu siba shetavo elav me'eis Hashem Baruch Hu. Hashem is the one who's responsible for it. No, it's not Hashem. I don't think it's Hashem. This is my neighbor. This is my evil neighbor. No, it's not your neighbor. Looks like your neighbor. Seems like your neighbor. I understand why you want to trace the trail back to your neighbor. This is the person who insulted me. This is the person who hurt me. It's Hashem communicating with you. Umiyad ha'odam miyad ish achiv lo yiyed davar bilti ratzon Hashem baruch. Nothing can happen in this world. No person can do anything to another person unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs off on it. Al-Kain, kishiyatzreyu o yachiveyu adam. When a person harms you, you should know. You should know in your soul. Ki avonosav garmu. There's a reason for it. Maybe your averos caused it. V'Hashem yisbarach gavzar alav bekach. And Hashem has ordained that it has to be that way. And therefore, says the Torah, don't take revenge against that person. That's missing the point. If you assign now, the person who harmed you, he also has to work out his cheshbon with Hashem. Hashem will deal with him as well. Right? But it's not your place to respond in that way. And one of the strongest examples that he brings in the last line, Kamosha Amar David Alav HaShalom, like David HaMelech. A Melech has every right to have expectations of how he's treated. And yet David, in his remarkable humility, as he's being cursed, David HaMelech says, leave Shimi ben Gera alone. It's not Shimi ben Gera, it's Hashem who's upset at me. He heard in the voice of another human being, he heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicating with him. The Chida actually writes in one place, that why was David HaMelech, Zocha, of all the things David did, and there's quite a few things David accomplished in his lifetime, of all the things David did in his lifetime, what merit did David have to become the fourth wheel of the divine chariot, of the Merkava? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. What merit did David HaMelech have to become the fourth wheel of the divine chariot? You know what the Chida says? How he knows, I'm not sure. But the Chida says, it's this. Shimi ben Gera. It's not responding to Shimi ben Gera, or it's responding to others around him. Not much made a kiddush Hashem. David HaMelech, with his humility, with his own embarrassment, don't touch Shimi ben Gera. It's not him. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person away to be so aware that everything, your person who's actively harming me in this moment, it's Hashem talking to me. Again, that person answers to Hashem separately. No one gets away with it. If he's in the wrong, he'll say how David became the fourth wheel of the Merkava. That's how David became the fourth wheel of the divine chariot. I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was Tafshin Ayin Gimel. I learned a really good lesson. It was the day before Yom Kippur, and we were eating falafel for dinner. and my daughter knocked over the tchina on my lap. Okay? Okay. Now, I'm not the type of dad who, like, you know, yells at his children, right? But I, you know, like I said, like, oh, you should be more careful. Whatever I said, you know, it was like insulting to my daughter. You know, I didn't scream at her. I said, like, oh, you know, I told you not to, I told you to sit down, whatever it was, you know, you should have been more careful. Now my pants are all dirty. Whatever it was. And she was like, she was upset, you know. She felt bad. Okay, whatever. It happens. Things happen. All right. But I was upset, you know. Should have been more careful. There was no need for that. If you would have just listened, you would have sat down. Mommy told you to sit down 3 times already. We're in the middle of dinner. I asked you to sit down. Okay, whatever it was. Fine. The tchina spilled. Not the end of the world. Yeah. I'm davening on Yom Kippur. And all of a sudden, I notice a phrase in my machzer. What's the phrase in the machzer? What's one of the things that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tchinasi Hipili. Right? My tchina has fallen. I spill my tchina before you, Hashem. Yeah? What does it really mean? I supplicate before you. I'm pouring out my tchina. I'm pouring out my tefillos in front of you, Hashem. So I said, who am I to tell my daughter she can't spill the tchina? And then I come before God and I spill the tchina on Hashem. Right? Everything's a lesson. When a person when we try to train ourselves to just be mindful of the things that are happening and try to learn from them. Again, it's not to just take a lesson from it. Right? Was that the kavanah that Hashem had and why I got tchina on my pants on, you know, two days before Yom Kippur, whatever it was? Right? Maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know. But there's nothing that's mikra, there's nothing that's happenstance. There's a reason that things happen. If we're paying attention, we'll start to notice it. Sometimes we find the answer in the Torah that we're learning. Hashem, you don't talk to me enough. Read the Torah. The Torah is how Hashem talks to us. When Mordechai HaTzadik hears that Haman has this evil plot, Mordechai goes out in the streets, and he starts walking over to children to ask them, what did you learn in yeshiva that day? An amazing medrash in source number 8. Ra Mordechai shlosha tinokos shayu ba'am mi beis ha-sefer. Mordechai, as Haman's, you know, Haman's ready to destroy Klal Yisrael, and most Jews are frightened, and Mordechai himself is about to put on sackcloth and ashes and start to fast. Right? But Mordechai saw 3 children leaving yeshiva that day. And Mordechai ran over to them and said, tell me, what did you learn in yeshiva today? And when Haman and his chevra, says the Medrash, saw Mordechai, looked like he was up to something, so they followed along. They wanted to see, what's Mordechai doing? He had just found out the news that Haman was plotting the destruction of Klal Yisrael. He wanted to see. So Haman and his chevra followed after Mordechai. And Mordechai walks over to this child, and he says to this child, tell me, in the 3rd line, where it's bolded, Kevan shigia Mordechai etzal tinokos, shal le'echad mehem, psuk li psukecha. I think it's a phrase in the Gemara in Gittin. Tell me your pasuk. Chazal have such a concept. Tell me a pasuk, and let's interpret it. So, what did you learn in school today? The boy says to him, Al tira mi pachad pisom umishoes resham kisavo. Do not be afraid of the evil plot of the wicked. And the Shoah, right? We translate today Shoah as Holocaust. The Holocaust that the resham are plotting. He went over to a 2nd boy, and he asked him, tell me, what pasuk did you learn in yeshiva today? I guess the 1st boy's yeshiva was learning Mishle. The 2nd boy's yeshiva was learning Navi Yeshaya. Utsu eitzah v'sufar dabur davar v'lo yakum ki imanu keh. Right? The whole plot will be overturned because God is with us. Ah, Mordechai, this is pretty good. Mordechai asked the 3rd child, what did you learn in yeshiva today? He was also learning Yeshaya. He's about 40 prakam ahead of the other boy. V'ad zikna ad nihu, v'ad seva ani asbol, ani asisi, v'ani esav, v'ani esbol v'amalit. Hashem says, I'm here forever, I'm going to take care of things. I'll bear whatever I need to bear in order to provide protection for Klal Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon has a beautiful vart, I'll just mention it quickly. The Vilna Gaon of the Kol Eliyahu says, why 3 psukim? The Gros said it corresponds to the 3 attacks of Amalek on Klal Yisrael. What was the 1st pasuk? The 1st pasuk was, Al tira mi pachad pisom, don't be afraid of a sudden attack. That refers to Amalek in Parshas Bashalach who attacked us suddenly. The 2nd pasuk, Utsu Eitz of Esufar, when they have a devious plot against us, it'll be overturned. That refers, if you remember, to the Rashi in Bamidbar Parachof Aleph, where it describes how the Amalekim disguise themselves as Kananim in order to sneak attack on Klal Yisrael. So Mordechai hears in the 2nd pasuk, don't worry, even when they try a sneak attack, Utsu Eitz of Esufar, all of their plots will be overturned. And of course, the 3rd attack, the 3rd pasuk, is Haman. Because Haman says about Klal Yisrael and Hashem, Yeshno Am Echad, There's a nation whose God is sleeping. Their God is tired. Their God is old. Their God is burnt out. And of course, the response to that is, what are you talking about? Va'ad zikna ani hu. Va'ad seiva ani yasbol. Hashem says, I don't get tired. I don't get worn out. I'm always there to save Klal Yisrael. So these three psukim correspond to the three attacks of Amalek. Unbelievable. That's what the Gra saw. But why was Mordechai looking for a sign? Because Mordechai understands that, again, Hashem does communicate with us. It's just up to us to try to make sure that we're able to hear it. To make sure that we're looking deeper. That we find that little Aleph hidden within the Vayikar, that big world of Mikra, to find that little Aleph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicating with us. The final source, the Medrash tells us in the Psikta, that at what point of the day did Haman plan to kill Mordechai? Haman has a big plan, he's very excited. Vayita v'davar lefnei Haman v'yasa eight. Haman makes his gallows, and they're 50 amos high, and the Medrash discusses where he got this pole from. Maybe he took it from his own house. Maybe he took it from the garden. Okay. And then it says, Haman had a plan. Haman wanted to kill Mordechai. Take a look at the last line of source number 9. Haya omer lamachar b'shachris b'shas kriyashma anitola Mordechai alav. Tomorrow morning, at the time of kriyashma, I'm going to kill Mordechai. Why did Haman want to kill Mordechai b'shas kriyashma? And the truth is, let's ask ourselves a really, really basic question. What are we saying when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? By the way, some of the Svarim point out, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Gematria 167. There are 167 psukim in Megillas Esther. What are we saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Shema Yisrael. Who are we talking to? Listen, hear, O Israel, right? Hear, O Israel. Okay, we can do better than that. Who are we talking to? There was a tzaddik who lived in Tveria 50 years ago or so. His name was Rav Aaron Luria. Wrote a sefer called the Avodas Pnim. And he explains, it's very deep the way he explains it, but very simply, you know what he basically says? Shema Yisrael. You know who we're saying? Listen up, Jew. We're talking to ourselves. We're talking to the essence of Yisrael inside of ourselves. We're not proclaiming amongst the Shema Yisrael, listen up, hear, O Israel. Shema Yisrael. I'm a Yisrael. I'm a Jew. I'm not from the world of Amalek. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in me. I shouldn't be so scared to write that Aleph just as big as the Vayikar, I believe in, but the Aleph is so small. We're bigger than that. Let's see the big Aleph. Let's see the big picture. Shema Yisrael. I say to myself, listen up. Try to hear something more. Try to see something more. Right? Hashem says to Moshe, say into the ear of Yahushua to destroy Amalek. Hear it. Hear it deeply. Make sure you're able to hear it directly. Make yourself a kli that's fit to receive the Dvar Hashem. And therefore, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us. What a beautiful thing. How does our parsha begin? Vayikra, with that tiny little aleph. But when you get to the end of the parsha, if you're using a Mikros Gedolos Chumash, you'll notice at the end of every parsha, there's a simen for the number of psukim that appear in that parsha. How many psukim are in this week's parsha? Anyone know? How many psukim are in this week's parsha? 111 psukim. Aleph, Lamed, Pei is Gematria 111. Aleph. The simen for the parsha is Aleph. So you start the parsha with this tiny little Aleph, but in the end you see the whole parsha is one big Aleph. Kadosh Baruch Hu was talking to you the whole time. Kadosh Baruch Hu was communicating with you the entire time. The whole parsha is one big Aleph. And the one who's willing to hear takes that little Aleph and expands it over the course of this parsha, and with that we come to the Yom Tov of Purim. So I leave you with one final story that took place about 6 years ago. I was a scholar in residence one Shabbos at the Kingsway Jewish Center in Brooklyn. I was staying at a very nice fellow's home, and I was playing hide and seek in the afternoon with his 5-year-old daughter, Nechama. Okay? She was hiding under a blanket. We were sitting in a bunch of us were sitting in the living room, and she kept coming up. She said, Moshe, let's play hide and seek. Okay, great. Okay, Nechama, it's your turn to hide. So she's hiding under a blanket. Yeah? Right next to me, under the blanket. Okay, so I'm playing along. Nechama, where are you? I don't see you, Nechama. Where are you? Where are you? Wow, such a good hiding spot. Where are you? I can't see. Finally, I pull up, like, oh, there's Nechama. And she looks at me, seriously, and she says, wait a minute, you said you couldn't see me. How did you find me? You kept saying, you can't see, I can't see you. I can't see you. How did you find me? So I said, Nechama, even though I couldn't see you, that doesn't mean that I couldn't hear you. Just because I couldn't see you doesn't mean that I couldn't hear you. And I thought to myself, you know, the Nechama that we're all waiting to see, 2,000 years of Golus. Purim is such a gevaldik geula, and every year we re-experience the possibility of that geula. Purim is such a Mashiach dikei yomtiv. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding from us, and we're looking, and we're looking. We're in the Nechama. I can't find the Nechama. But I can hear the Nechama. I can still hear it if I listen really well. Right? It's just hiding. It's just beneath that blanket. Megillas Esther. To uncover this, that which is, that Aleph which is Beseser, which is hidden beneath the surface. So Amir Tzashem. We should understand. It wasn't Moshe's issue, and it wasn't Mordechai's issue. I promise you. It was our issue. It was Klal Yisrael's issue. Mordechai and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzaddik Hador, were saying to Klal Yisrael, at the very least, right? Stop with the fake humility. At least write a little Aleph. Know that the Aleph is there. And then work to keep, again, keep trying to bring out that Aleph. To the point that when you get to the end of the Parshas Vayikra, you see 111 psukim. Aleph, Lamed, Pei, Aleph. You see that it's one big Aleph. Amir Tzashem, we should be zochet to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to hear a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Amir Tzashem, if we recognize that it's not chance at all, but it's Hashem communicating with us, then we'll be zochet to hear the Dvar Hashem as Hashem declares Mashiach's arrival. B'mehera b'yameinu amen. Freilich and Purim, and have a great Shabbos. There will not be a shir on Purim evening next Thursday night. But everyone come to my house if you want to hear Divrei Torah. Shabbos.